I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Thessalonians, please, in chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And verse number 17, and let's stand together, please. Verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians 2. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Now may the Lord add his blessings on that portion of Scripture this morning. Let's bow together to pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm rejoicing this morning in your divine presence in this place. And I'm thanking you for it on this Thanksgiving Sunday. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with unworthy sinners. Thank you, Lord, for squeezing my heart and letting me know once again that the great God of heaven lives in my bosom and loves me, Lord, with such a love. And not me only, but these that are gathered about here today as well. With such a love, Lord, that you'd lay down your life for us. That you'd make that supreme sacrifice and pay that debt that we could not pay ourselves. Where we were living in poverty and had nothing to pay with. I want to thank you, Lord, that you paid my debt. And now I've put my sin on your account. And you've reckoned that unto the Father. And I've found forgiveness of sin. I'm grateful this morning for your mediatorship and your intercessorship at the right hand of God. I thank you, Lord, this morning for helping us as we sang and testified. And I pray now, Lord Jesus, that you'd help me as I try to preach. I'd ask the Spirit of God to bless me and anoint me and give me the liberty that I need and the power, the grace, the wisdom. Lord, even the very words that I need this morning. To be an encouragement to this people and a strength to them and a blessing to them. And at the same time, Lord, preach the gospel of Christ to those that may be lost and without you. I'd ask for your divine help and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you now and you may be seated. I want us to look at verse number 18 this morning is where I'll take my thought from. And where Brother Paul says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, and notice this, once and again, but he said, but Satan hindered us. And I want to preach for a while this morning on the thought of help for hindrances. Help for hindrances. Paul says here that the devil, that is Satan, hindered him in coming back to Thessalonica in presence and being a blessing to that church that he had established there according to Acts chapter number 17. And in verse 17 here in our Bible, we once again, we see the great love and affection that Paul had for the believers in Thessalonica. And I'd like to say this morning that a preacher or a pastor is going to have some love for his people. And I'll tell you, it's not an easy thing to rebuke people for sin and then to keep on loving that person. Especially when the Bible said some that are even contrary to their own self. There are people that will fight against themselves in getting right with God. And yet we're to continue loving those people. And Paul had that kind of a love for this congregation. He had been there and watched how the Spirit of God had moved in their midst. And how God had brought them under conviction. And how with cords of kindness he had drawn them unto himself and opened up his heart of love to them and even given them the faith that they might believe upon the Son of God and be saved. He was there the morning or the evening that they repented and turned from their idols to serve a living God. And really, I believe in Paul's heart, he is so proud of these believers because from them sounded out the Word of God into Achaia and in all the parts of Europe and Asia. The Word of God sounded out from them and they became examples to everybody around them. It is no wonder that Paul said that I've endeavored to get back one more time to be in your presence. A part of my heart is there with you right now. I'll tell you, you cannot be a part of somebody's life and just cut that off immediately. I've known some of you here for almost 17 years. And some of you for 16 and 15 years. And I'll tell you, there's nothing, I don't believe that time nor space could separate you and I from the love and the affection that we have for one another. That's what Paul is saying in verse number 17. He said, I endeavored to get there because I had a great desire to see you. Paul said, I had a love for you in my heart. And I'm telling you today that I'm learning as an older man of God. I'm learning in my latter years what it means to love the people of God and sincerely want to see them arrive with God and blessed of the Lord and walking in all the ways of God. I can say that on my own. I believe that's what Paul was getting at. He said, I was taken from you for a short time in presence. But he said, part of my heart was left right there with you. And I believe I could say that this morning. It doesn't matter where I go to preach. I can go to a camp meeting and I'll guarantee you that my mind is not there, it's here. I can go to preach a revival meeting, and on Sunday morning I've got to fight, ladies and gentlemen, to get my heart and my mind upon what I'm doing there, because I'm concerned more about what is going on back here. Is the man that I put in this pulpit to preach to you supplying the need that you have for that week? Is he giving you enough of the grace of God that it will help you and encourage you to keep on fighting the good fight against the devil, the flesh, and the world, and go out into the world for another week and come back the next week with some kind of victory down in your heart? I'll tell you, I keep thinking about that. And I'm never separated from you in heart. I'll tell you, you have a piece of my heart this morning. I heard a fellow sing one time, said he left his heart in San Francisco. I believe if I did, I'd go back and get it. Amen. I believe that'd be one of the last places on earth I'd want my heart out there amongst that bunch of queers. Amen. Amen. There ain't nothing wrong with having your heart and leaving your heart down yonder at that little church along the side of the road. Where you've labored with people and prayed with people and worshiped with people and they've become a part of your life. Sat down at the same table and ate with them in fellowship. They've had you in your home and you've eaten with them. You went to the hospital with them and prayed for them. You've seen some of them cut on and operated on. And others, you've seen them broken hearted and walk through the fires and troubles and trials. And I'll tell you, friend, you cannot go through that with people and not have a heart for them. I'm going to tell you, next time you go out here and somebody says, oh, Hall don't love his people, he's too hard on them. You tell that person they're full of hell and don't know what they're talking about. Amen. Do you think Paul was light with these people? That he bypassed their sin? Do you think Paul failed to tell them when they were wrong? I can take you through the Bible and show you time and time again where the man of God went directly to somebody and put his finger on them and said, thou art the man. But I'll tell you, at the same time, that preacher or prophet that said that had a heart of love for that individual he was rebuking. Amen. Are y'all with me? Stay right with me. I'm going to preach on health for hindrances here in just a minute if I can get there. Paul said that I endeavored to come to you once and again. In other words, I tried to get to where you were one time. But he said the devil hindered me in getting there. And he said, I tried to get there again, but the devil hindered me in getting there. I know at least twice that Paul tried to get back to Thessalonica, and for one reason or another, he was unable to get there because of some hindrance in his life that the devil had placed there. I want to say to you this morning that the devil is our adversary. I think we've forgotten that. We're not wrestling, ladies and gentlemen, with flesh and blood. We're wrestling with principalities and with powers, with the rulers of darkness in this world. Where our battle is not just only our flesh and our society, but I'll tell you, there's an evil one that goes to and fro and walks up and down in the earth, seeing whom he may devour. You better believe that there is a spirit operating in this world that the Bible calls Satan. Lucifer, who fell from heaven as a shining star because iniquity was found in him. Now I want to say to you, he's not a fairy tale. He is not a myth. He is not a figment of your imagination. Neighbor, he is a real, live, walking personality in this world today. I'll tell you, he's got the rulers of the world. Who do you think it is hindering world peace? It's the devil. He's got the rulers of this world, ladies and gentlemen, right there where he wants them. He thinks. But I'm going to tell you, there's a higher power than him here. There is the spirit of the devil in this world. But oh, hallelujah to God. The Bible said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We've got an adversary, but I'm glad we've got a helper that dwells in our bosom this morning. Amen. He'll help you, Brother Steve. He'll help Patty, and he'll help the family. And he'll help Brother James and Miss Wynn. Hallelujah. There's some of the rest of you in here that, that he has helped. And thank God if he has helped, he'll help again. Glory to God. He's a present help in trouble. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm glad he's got a mighty arm of power this morning, ladies and gentlemen. He's not weak and frail, but he's all powerful. And I'll tell you, he that created the devil has power over that creation. How's that grab you? You think the creator don't have power over the creature? You better believe he does. The Lord can pull his little cord anytime he wants to. Satan said, oh, let me have Job. And the Lord said, sorry, I've got a hedge around him. That's all that would have been done unless the Lord said, now I'll take it down and let you prove him. But don't you touch his soul. It's mine. Now, I'm telling you, the devil might have the power to touch our very being and our very body, but he cannot have our soul or our spirit. They are the Lord's, and I've even got news for that sorry devil, bless God, that even one of these days the Lord will resurrect our body, hallelujah, and it belongs to him also. In fact, I can take you to a place where Paul said, and I hope the Lord preserved your whole body, soul, and spirit. Amen. He may never let the devil have your body, but he might. He might break you out in balls. Or he might give you a neurological disease. Amen. Or he might even plug up one of your arteries in your heart.
He may do a lot of things to your body. But I'm glad that we're sealed, ladies and gentlemen, until the day of redemption. And all the devil can do is hinder you.
Amen. He cannot have you. He can hinder you.
Woo! Glory! I'm glad that I'm the Lord's today.
I'd just like to kick plumb out of the traces. Hey, God, swing from a chandelier. I tell you, when I spoke about preaching on the second coming, he nudged my heart and said, I'm on the way. I believe he's coming shortly. Amen. What a God we have. Woo! Now, I've already covered this. But the personality of Satan, he's real. He's real. And I'm going to tell you something. One of his master moves is to get people to believe that there is no such thing as a devil.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. I'm going to tell you, you'd be surprised that Baptist people that are saved, we're going to settle down and preach a little while now. You'd be surprised that people that are saved, that really have some reservations about whether the devil is real or not. I won't tell you he's real. And one of his master moves is to convince you that he, and sinners too, by the way, that he is not real. He's just a myth. He don't want you to know he's real. He wants people to believe he's a myth or a fairy tale. That is right. Listen carefully. He wants you to believe he's a myth. If he does, if he can convince you of that, then the account of the temptation and the fall of Adam is just a myth. And man is not a sinner. And if he can convince you that man is a sinner, then you have to realize, that there's no need for the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That man don't need to be saved. And then thirdly, there is no punishment for a sinner. There's no heaven. There's no hell. I'm telling you, all he's got to do is convince somebody that he is just a fairy tale, somebody in a storybook. And the bottom line of it is that we're not sinners. There's no Christ. There's no atonement. There's no heaven. There's no hell. Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we're all going to die. I'll tell you, if he can get people convinced, and he's got the world hook-nosed. I don't have time to take you there, but Ephesians chapter 2 will prove that to you, buddy. I'm telling you, he's not got a pitchfork and a pointed tail and horns. I saw a supposedly picture of him one time. He had cloven feet like a cow and antlers and standing with a pitchfork and a big tail. I said, God have mercy. What people will imagine in their mind about the devil. Now I want you to notice here, secondly, about him. The name that is given to him here. The Bible calls him in verse number 18. Paul said, but Satan hath hindered us. That word, that name given to him means something. And there's basically two, and I don't have time to go into all of them, but basically two of the great names of the devil are as an enemy of ours that is called in the Bible. And number one is the devil. He is called the devil, and I'll guarantee you he is a devil. And as a devil, that word means a deceiver. And I'll guarantee you that he is a deceiver of men, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I'm telling you, and a master deceiver. I've never seen him in such great work as what he's doing on the minds and the hearts of people all around us today. He has got them convinced, ladies and gentlemen, and not only convinced, they're satisfied living in their sin and going to hell because they do not believe that there is a devil. Old boogeyman, used to call him old boogeyman. Don't go in there, there's a boogerman in there. Most old timers used to tell their kids that. Don't go in that room, there's a boogerman in there. Now, I'm telling you, from that little, they grew up believing there was a booger man.
And when they've got old enough to know that there ain't no booger man in there, you know what's in their mind? There ain't no booger man. But I'm telling you, there is a booger man. He might not have been in that dark room, but there is a boogeyman, son. And he is walking to and fro in this earth today. You better mark her down. And he's walking around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Come on in here now. I'm going to get to my message in a minute. Revelation 12:9 says, and that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Notice this. Satan, the word Satan, though, means an accuser. And I guarantee you he is an accuser. I want you to hear this. Well, let me read this verse first. Revelation 12:10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. You hear me well, I guarantee you the devil is definitely accusing you and I at the throne of God. He is constantly there, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you how dumb he is. He's there because in his wicked imagination, he really believes he's going to get the mind and the heart of God and convince God that you and I ought to die and go on to hell and that we're not worth salvaging from our sin. And he'll be quick to point out our sin before God. But I want to turn your thought right here for a minute. He's the accuser of the brethren. He will accuse one brother to another brother. Oh, you better watch out, ladies and gentlemen, when you stand listening to somebody else tell you, did you hear about so-and-so? Or, hey, what about so-and-so? I'm going to tell you what I'd do. I'd back my ear away from that mess. I wouldn't listen to gossip. I wouldn't listen to rumors about somebody else and listen to somebody accuse somebody else before me. And I'm going to tell you where it really rubber meets the road. It's when the devil starts accusing you to you. And he crawls up in that little old mind of yours. And he starts something like this. Well, Miss Sandy, you know God really couldn't love you. You're a sinner after all, aren't you? You see, if he can't convince you you're not a sinner, he'll try to convince you that you are a sinner. And because you are, you're unworthy of God's love. And then, if he can't convince you that you're a sinner and unworthy of God's love, he'll convince you that Jesus really didn't die for you. Oh, he might have died for old so-and-so over there, but not for you. I'm telling you, buddy, he's a master. He is a master, and I'm telling you everything. He is working overtime. Come on now. He is a working overtime in the church to hinder the people of God. Paul said, I endeavored once and again to come unto you, but Satan hindered us. The accuser, he hindered us. Now I want you to listen carefully. As the devil, his work is destructive. That is, he destroys. Listen carefully. In Matthew 4:1, when Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now get a hold of this. In verse 9 in that text, the devil said, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, he is the devil there. And his work is destructive. Now, I'll tell you, he tries to destroy things that have already been built. He tried to destroy the atoning work of God. Come on and help me now. He tried to destroy the atoning work of God by convincing the Lord to fall down and worship Him and do it. So, if I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth if you'll do this. And the glory of them, if you'll just fall down and worship me. I'm going to tell you, had he done that, he'd have destroyed the whole human race. Every one of us today, our faith would have been in vain. Had he convinced the Lord Jesus to fall down and worship Him. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say some things about that later on. Don't want to get in too deep into it now. But I want to tell you, he destroys
As a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That means to destroy. I'm going to tell you, as Satan, as the accuser, ladies and gentlemen, he will destroy your testimony. He will destroy the time that you ought to be given to God and let you give it to something else. Oh, he'll destroy that which you built. Try to build your home, and I'll tell you, he'll be right there trying to tear your home down. You try to get an all prayer altar started in your home, a family altar, he'll be there to tear down. You try to establish Bible reading time, he'll be there to tear down. I'm telling you, he is a destructive Satan today. That destroys everything in his path like a whirlwind, like a cyclone. Gobbles up little buildings and twists them apart. Satan's so destructive he can take lives and make shambles out of them in just a matter of a minute. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, we're not playing, ladies and gentlemen, with some little peewee. He is the prince of the power of the air. Are you listening to me? He is the prince of the power of the air, ladies and gentlemen. Amen! I'll tell you what the devil did, brought those hurricanes in down in Florida and tried to destroy people down there. You better believe he did, but I'm telling you, God rode the storm in there. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God will ride our storm. There may be storms in our life and the devil hindering us, but thank God the dead Lord will ride out our storms with us. Amen. Now, as Satan, he's the accuser. As Satan, he's the accuser. And he tries to accuse us. Because as Satan, that word means obstructing. He doesn't try to destruct. He tries to obstruct. Just put up hindrances. See, that's his second plan. He finds out he can't destroy you, Brother James. He'll try to hinder you from doing right. He finally realizes that you've got the patience and the hope of a child of God. He'll try to obstruct you in finding God's will for your life. He'll try to obstruct you in doing what's right in your life. Oh, I'm telling you. When he can't obtain plan A, ladies and gentlemen, he'll always rock back on plan B. Amen. And I'll tell you, Patty and him, and they went through some problems. Been through some problems in life. But I'm going to tell you, when the devil found out he couldn't destroy you, then he tried to put obstructions in your life. To obstruct. To rob you of your joy. Try to cut down on your faith. Cut down on the grace that's in your heart. To make you to believe that God's doing you all wrong. Like God don't love you. Why is all this happening in your life? If God really loved you, he wouldn't do that. I want to say if God didn't love you, he wouldn't be doing that. But he does love us. I don't know why, but I'm telling you, he does it because he does love us. Hallelujah to God. Now I want to say this, that no chastening for the moment seems to be joyous, but afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Woo! Glory to God. What a God we have. He knows how to lay the lash. I'm going to say this. I'm the preacher now. I'm meddling real deep today. Real deep. I believe I heard Sister Benedict say in her testimony that this week, forget, how did you say that? You got a little upset. Didn't really want to praise the Lord because he got a little upset. Now, I'm guessing, but I'm the preacher. I'm guessing now. Now, Brother Billy said he wanted to go meet out with Brother Allen. Now, I'm guessing that maybe you had planned to go to Georgia this week. Right or wrong? I'm wrong. Somebody from Georgia coming here. And Brother Billy going away on a wild weekend. I'm going to find it if it kills me. But I'm assuming some plans were disrupted, right or wrong. Possibly. Woo! Ain't we got it now?
I knew it was in there somewhere. I'm saying, hey, we're laughing, but I'm telling you, that's the devil. Listen carefully. Son, hey, we can make plans, and he just, Paul, that's what Paul said. I made plans twice to come and see you. But I had one that obstructed me, that hindered me, that put a roadblock up the door of the roadway, caused a detour, and when I got to the detour, I couldn't get that way either. He'll pull down your little plans. Now, here's what I was going to say. I'll go ahead and say it, because they'll ask me about it if I don't. I was assuming maybe Miss Gwen had an idea to go home and spend time with family for Thanksgiving. That really sounds good, don't it? I mean, that really sounds good. And we're all cocked and primed. Me and Miss Hall, I remember when Sister Hall and I lived in Bible college, lived in Arizona, lived in Kentucky. I remember when Thanksgiving and Christmas would roll around, you know what I'd want to do? Go home. But when I got, hey, because I missed home so bad. But when I got there, I had a good time, but when I went to leave, I found out it was a little hard to leave. And somewhere down in my heart, the Holy Ghost would say, boy, it'd been better for you to stay out there. You see, it would have been easier to fought the battle and won the battle. All that's doing, going home is doing, is just adding fuel to the fire, bringing a greater temptation upon us. Can you get a hold of that? We think it's good to go home with the Lord, and because the Lord won't let us, we get upset to the Lord and get down the mully grubs. I wanted to go home, and the Lord wouldn't let me. Didn't have the money, didn't have the cash. Now, to go home, and I wanted to go, and God wouldn't let me go. Now, what's the problem? No problem. The Lord just knows when you get there, you wouldn't want to leave. And when you did leave, you'd have a greater hang-up on going where God called you than you would the first time you left there. Amen. You get a hold of that? Am I telling it right or not? Ain't that right? Hallelujah. I'm going to spank them after church. I just knew I had that thing down. That proves one thing. I'm not a foreteller, but a forth teller. Hallelujah. Now, roadblocks. I want you to listen carefully. And I'm just about done. I promise you I won't be but a few more minutes. I finally got to the message. How does Satan hinder you and I today? Some of these I don't believe I've ever used. I want you to get a hold of them. Paul said he hindered me. He put a roadblock up. I had to take a detour, and when I got there, I found out the detour was closed, and I had to go back. I tried to do that twice. I put you in my plans, but God wouldn't let you be in my plans. Can you get a hold of that? How many times have you put things in your plan, and your plans didn't work out? And we thought, God's being mean to us because he wouldn't let me have my plans. When all the time, those plans are the devil's decoy. His little ploy to get you right where he wants you to be. To hinder you. Amen. God hindered. God wouldn't let him go. Are you listening to me? Devil hindered. God said, just pull back and wait. Time will come. I want you to listen carefully. Things in our life that hinder us, Satan hinders us. Number one, by designing false imagination against us. False imagination. We have the most imaginary minds in any generation I've ever seen. We can imagine that somebody don't like us! And come to find out they're our greatest friend! I've been right here in this church and thought that somebody in this church was against me and hated me. And when the rubber went down to meet the road, I found out they was my greatest friend. Amen. Listen to me. Imagining things. You have false imaginations. I don't have no more take time to read this. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you the illustration. Moses went down into Egypt. God told Aaron when they went in to see Pharaoh, God said, throw that rod down. And he throwed that little shepherd rod down, and that little rod became, ladies and gentlemen, became a serpent. And I got this. He throwed down one rod. But Pharaoh called in his magicians. And the Bible said they cast down their rods, plural. Till tells me that he's got a whole lot of them little false imaginations. And there was those little old snakes rolling around in there. Now, I'm going to tell you what the devil told Moses and Aaron. There it is, see? I've got just as much power as your God's got. I can do everything your God can do. And I'll guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, in the false imagination of our mind, we'll begin to think the devil's got just as much power as God has. There's the Lord's serpent. There's the devil's serpent. And by the way, the devil had more serpents than God had. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to get cold feet and back up on God. And then, in our false imagination, the devil will make us, hinder us, by making us believe that he's got just as much power as what God had. And then you get a hold of this. I believe this is exactly what the Lord's talking about when Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, when he said, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses." There's your hindrance. He said, "So do these men of corrupt mind, reprobate." Amen. Paul said they withstood Moses, and these men will withstand you. Now I'm telling you, there will be things and times in your life when the devil will make you believe that Satan has God outnumbered. Right. And that his power is greater than the throne of God itself. But I'm going to tell you what God done, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. I'm going to tell you, that one little old serpent of Moses, the Bible said it swallowed up all the serpents. Not one of them, not two of them, but all of them. It swallowed them up. Somebody said, "What does that approve of, Brother Hall?" Hey, that God has victory over death. And there's coming a day that death will be swallowed up in victory, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
It's just like Sister Woodard sang on that final song. He was 4 days late, but he was right on time. Hallelujah to God. Now I'm telling you, we're going down through this life way of troubles and trials and heartaches, despondency and despairs, and there's roadblocks on every angle that we turn. It seems like everything we want to do, we can't do. And what we try to get done, we can't get done. And that old devil, that old slew foot himself, hinders us on every hand. And I'll tell you, he's doing that to do no more than get the upper hand on you, but to bring you to a place in your heart and mind where you say, "I give up, greater as the devil than God." But I want you to know there is coming a morning. Woo! Hallelujah. When death shall be swallowed up in absolute victory. Brother Steve, that old body, that old ticker ain't doing too well. But God said that this mortal shall put on immortality. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother James testified this morning, "Don't know what I'm going to do. I bet you never dreamed it could get that bad, did you?" Woo! Hallelujah. But things coming today. I believe it or I wouldn't say it. If you'll stay right with God, and that's the where it all hinges, ladies and gentlemen. Finding the will of God, staying in the Word of God, staying right with God, and if you'll stay in the will of God, God will give, God has given, God will take away, but God will give again. My Lord, Sister Hall saying, "My Lord delivers again. I have God delivers again." Now I'm telling you that God can swallow up all your problems, all your hindrances, and give you a glorious victory in the Lord Jesus. That is absolutely right. I want to say number two. Devil hinder you by designing false imagination. And number two, by devising mischief against you. You remember how Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem
to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And when he got to Jerusalem, the Bible said in Nehemiah 4:1, it said, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wroth. To a great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren. Somebody turn on the ceiling fan. And the army of Samaria. And said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their little old stone wall. And there's old Sanballat and Tobiah. And they are there, ladies and gentlemen, to devise mischief against Nehemiah. Get a hold of this. And to tear down what Nehemiah had already built. And to hinder him from building what God had called him to build. Are you staying right with me? I hope so. The devil will speak evil about your work and accomplishments that you have done for Christ. Old Tobiah said, well, said if a fox went up on that wall, it's going to fall down. Some of you have labored in your home. You've labored with your families. Some of you spent years of your Christian life building a wall around your family. You've learned to pray and read your Bible and be faithful in the house of God. You've homeschooled or Christian schooled your children. Kept them out of the hellish day school system. Amen. Where they teach evolution. They're anti-God and anti-church. Oh, they talk about a God, but they don't talk about Jesus. Are you listening to me? And I'm going to tell you right there is the devil, ladies and gentlemen. And he's trying to tear down. He's trying to hinder you from building the rest of that wall and putting up the gates. And here's what he's got in some of you's mind. I know it's a squeaking. Praise God, I've seen Brother Steve look at it. He's a carpenter. You know what he's building some of you's minds? Who might trouble all the labor's been in vain? What I've done is gone. There's no hope. Or else, Lord, I can't see daylight. I'm trying, but I'm accomplishing nothing in my life. Keep on laying the bricks. Keep on mixing the mortar. Keep on building the wall. I tell you, he that led you to build that wall will see to it that wall is built in your Christian life. God ain't going to let you give up on your home. God will make it a place of love and joy, a spiritual place, a happy home, a glorious home. He'll give you men and you women love in your lives for him like you never knew was there. He'll give you a love that you have, one for another that you never dreamed you'd ever obtain. I told this to our men, I'm going to tell you ladies, and I know I'm going to. I said, I don't really believe that. She went to the coffin. I said, I wish you'd have went to the doctor. I'm going to tell you what I did. Are you listening to me? I went in there and made me a TV dinner out of the, in the microwave and ate me a TV dinner. I went and carried her one of them little TV lean, mean Jean or whatever you call them dinners in there. I went out to the deep freeze and got six of them. I said, here's your choice. The very first one, she said, I want that one. I just took the rest of them back. I said, you're easy to please. I put the one in the microwave and began to cook that thing for her. Carried it in there to her, got her a glass of that orange drink that she likes real well. And sat down on the floor and began to rub on her foot. Woo! Somebody said, why, Brother Hall? There's a love there through nearly 38 years that God has put in my heart. I can't explain it. I love to try to tell about it, but I couldn't define it. I couldn't describe it. It is a love that exceeds the love that men have, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow, I'm glad that God in these Christian years has let me build a wall. And oh yeah, the devil has been there to fight every step of the way and try to hinder the work of God from being done. And I'll tell you, I just kept on laying the blocks. Kept on mixing the mortar. Kept on raising my children. Teaching them the Word of God. Kept them down at the house of God. And I'm telling you, oh yes, things are getting good around the Hall household. Called my oldest brother last night. He'll soon be 70 years old. January the 20th. Old brother Donnell turned 70 years old. And he said, told me last night, he said, I said, how you doing? He said, my heart's better than it was 15 years ago when I had surgery. And he said, I want you to pray for Ebby. That's what we call Doodle Hopper. He said, pray for Doodle Hopper. He said, we've been married. He said, it'll soon be. Are you listening to me? I forget how many years. They've been married young. Donnie was 18 or 19 years old when he got married. But said, Ebby's on a walker now. And she's got so much pain in her legs, they may have to operate and take out her veins and put in new veins. And said she got up the other day and she kind of hobbled on that walker and she stopped and she looked over at Donnie. And said, Donnie, I remember when we got married and I was 16 years old. And said, I never, ever dreamed that it ever come to this. And said, here I am where I thought I'd never be and doing what I thought I'd never have to do. But said, I've grown old and don't know where the years went to. But he said, hey, he said, I don't mind fixing her food for her. I don't mind helping her with that walker. I don't mind carrying her the telephone. He said, after all these, he said, we ain't got much and they ain't. If you went and seen her house, some of you wouldn't walk inside of it. He said, this old house is falling in her in, down in all around her head. But said, hey, glory to God, we've got one another. And said, my love is stronger for that woman now than it was the day we got married. I'm telling you, and the devil has tried to tear down that wall, but God will not let him. There's a hinder. Try to tear down your wall. How many of you women in here know those paintings of Paul of Arm? Shows that little humpback man and woman standing with that going up to the house of God. Got one of them in the mail the other day and started playing that music. And the words down below, it said, well, here we are. It said, not so bad. It said, we've got one another and love. Woo! I'm telling you, what I'm trying to tell you is I've just about made it. I've kept on running my race. I've stayed on course. I kept a trial in one hand and a sword in the other. And I've labored with one hand and I've fought with the other hand. I've fought against the devil. I've fought against the world. I've fought against this flesh of mine. And I've built some walls. And I'll tell you, I've tried to stay right with God. And one of these days, God's going to say the same thing to you and me. He said to Nehemiah, and the wall was finished. The devil will do his best to devise mischief. Amen. Convince you that your labor is vain. Listen, I got to hurry. He'll speak evil about your work and your accomplishments with Christ. He'll dishearten you by mocking you instead of a fox went up on him. He'll mock you. Well, you ain't got nothing in life. Your life don't amount to nothing. The fox went across it, it'd fall down. He'll dishearten you. Will they sacrifice? That's what he said. Will they really worship God? Will they revive the stones? God, hey, the devil looked at some of us about 2 months ago. Said, I've got them now! Hey, are you asleep today? But on a glorious Sunday morning, I believe on October the 1st, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. And God said everything's all right in the house of God. And I've been preaching like a wild man with more liberty than I know what to do with. And everybody that's been here. I said, preacher, it looks like God may getting ready to send you real revival. Brother Allen would say,
put this back, you folks out there listening to popping and cracking. Hey, God, we need to get this dry wood in here burning. Get somebody in here popping and cracking. I'm about done. Stay with me. Number three. Number one, he designs false imaginations against you. Number two, he devises mischief against you. Number three, he distracts us by offering us what he cannot produce. Now, you get a hold of that. I said he offers us what he cannot produce. When the Lord was led into the wilderness in Matthew 4, the Bible said there, again, he, that is the devil, saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt. And he said, and the glory of the world, and all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. I want to ask you something. When did he get the world to give it away? Said, Jesus, if you just fall down and worship, look at all the world. If you fall down and worship me, he said, I'll give it all to you. I want to ask you a question again. Where did he get it to give it to us? Who gave it to us? But I'm going to tell you what the devil will do to us today. Look at all that out there. Man, you only live one time. Why don't you reach out and grab all the gusto you can get? I'll tell you what I'll do for you. The Lord keeps you down there in that little church house three times a week, make you listen to that idiot. All the problems you face, and all he ever does is scream and holler. But if you'll just listen to what I'm saying, I'll give you all these things. They're not his to give you, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to tell you what people are doing today. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is killing our Baptist churches today. Because all we can see today is big houses, new cars, little money in the bank, big time vacations. Are you listening? Now, I know most of us in here ain't like that. We're poor people. We can't live like that. But I'm telling you that's what the devil says. He wants, you ought to be living like that. God's depriving you of all the fun. Well, look at all the fun the world's having. They're taking off all their clothes and going down to Miami Beach. And their little daughters is getting pregnant by black men and Mexicans and white whoremongers. Look at all the fun they're having. They're out there shooting up dope. They're dancing and having a ball for a season. They got to wake up on Sunday morning and face reality again. All right, I want you to hear me well. I went over here to an auction yesterday. And there is an 18-acre tract of land, a 2.5-acre tract of land, a 3.5-acre tract of land. And they sold them all separately, and then they put them together to sell them. And when I looked at it, shook my head, I walked away. They had $152,000 on 23 or 24 acres. You know why? Big houses sitting over there. Boy, have me a big house like they got. I'm going to put my wife to work and let her go out and help with the income and sacrifice my whole family and flesh it all down the drain. Because the devil told me that I can have what John Doe's got. I can't keep up with the Joneses if I just put my wife out and let her make a little income too. Then her car payment and her insurance and her gasoline and her babysitting time cost every dime that she makes, and you ain't a bit better off. The devil tell you, oh, you can have. Well, what's wrong with listening to a little country music everybody else is? What's listening to a little that country of God? Her country is rock. And after all that, all of our kids ought to learn to walk like a chicken.
don't mind the house of God. Yeah. Lost and found. I have lost them, ladies and gentlemen. I got them all. The world there means arrangement in that text in Matthew. It means arrangement or decoration. In other words, the devil will decorate the world and make it look real pretty.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Stay in your moment. And the word glory means dignity, honor, or praise. And I'm going to tell you, he'll make you think that you ought to, you're worth something. And if you can get out here and get all this, and other people look up to you and think, boy, look what he got. Hey, I had a picture of a gentleman here in town, and I'm glad that he done what he done. I'm not knocking what he done. But he gave the community college, how much money was it? $1.5 million? They had the governor over here. And the mayor there. I'm not sure the governor. I think Tubby Smith. Oh, and I'm telling you, it was a big thing, big write-up in the paper. So-and-so gives $1 million, $1.5 million to the college. And I want to ask you something. A man's law. What's the million and a half? Oh, and they just bowed down. Oh, it's just a wonderful thing. And that's what a lot of people want in a lesser fashion. They want people to look up to him. Man, look what he got. Man, look what he bought. But I'm going to tell you, everything that glitters, ladies and gentlemen, is not gold. I'm about done. Why do you always say that when I say I'm about done? But... Then he hinders us, listen carefully. He hinders us by discouraging us concerning God's will. God gave Paul a thorn in the flesh, and in 2 Corinthians 12:8, Paul said, "For this thing, get it now, I sought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Lord, please, take this thing away. No, Paul. No, I don't even think he said no. I think Paul said, "Lord, take this thing away." Lord never said a word. "Lord, please take this thorn away." Paul never said a word. God never said a word. The third time, Paul said, "Lord, take this thing away. Let it depart from me." And the Lord said, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for you." Now, can you get a hold of it this morning? The discouragement. And he said, "For my strength, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Can I ask you this morning? Are you discouraged because God led you to where you are in your life? If we're not careful, ladies and gentlemen, we'll get there. Like Brother Job, God giveth, God taketh away, God giveth again. And I'm here to tell you, it's easy to get discouraged when God's will for our life is contrary to what we want. And if the devil can get us discouraged, you know, the chapter 21 of Numbers, they said the people were discouraged because of the way. I got to hurry. I'm telling you. Said, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Hey, there's your help. Sufficient grace and strength when you're weak. There's your help, ladies and gentlemen, for the hindrance. I'm closing with this. He'll hinder us by deceiving us by his lies. Let's see if God really says.
as doubt. I'm going to say, when you start doubting what God has done and what God can do, you are in trouble. Spiritually. The devil puts you on the run real quick. You ain't careful. Hindrance. Been hindered this morning? Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. That's all coming, Brother George.